Jean Carlson drives through the narrow, winding streets of Chignik Bay, between quiet wooden houses.
That used to be a restaurant there. And those across over there, that's a Webloft over there, which is shut down now. There's another one of my cousin's houses. He's not living there anymore.
The Aleut fishing community is nestled among green mountains overlooking turquoise water. The area has been home to Native people for millennia. Chignik Bay was established as a fishing community in the late 1800s, and more people of Aleutic, Aleut, Russian, and Scandinavian descent moved to the area. Now, about 90 people live here.
He's almost done. We're getting really close.
We have gorgeous weather for doing this. It's kind of messy, but that's just what it does.
Up a steep ladder to the second floor of the smokehouse, strips of red salmon glow in the sun. It's mid-July, and people would normally be out fishing commercially or filling smokehouses with subsistence catch. But for 4 years now, the sockeye and chinook runs to Chignik have been extremely low. Carlson was born in Chignik Bay and has fished commercially since he was a kid in 1961. Now he lives in Washington State and usually returns for the summer. Driving through the quiet village, he says this may be his last season.
If we have another prediction like this year, I don't think I can come back, you know. It's expensive to try to... Because, you know, when we come back, we bring food for the whole summer. Because we've got to feed our crews, which you can't even find anymore.
Some people think climate change is causing the decline. Others point to fishermen in other areas catching Chignik-bound fish. But regardless of the cause, people are anxious that without the runs, the communities will die. The village of Chignik Lagoon is about an hour's boat ride along the bay's shoreline. About 70 people live here.
And it's protected by that sand spit, which is a natural breakwater.
George Anderson fishes commercially and for subsistence. He's also the president of the Chignik Intertribal Coalition, which was formed after the run collapsed in 2018. Earlier this summer, the run was so low that some people chose not to put out nets for subsistence fishing. They were worried about harming the fragile run.
It's something that we took for granted in the past, that the fish were just always going to be there for, you know, smoking, salting, freezer, whatever. And to have that not be there for you is just something we're never prepared for. Never imagined even not subsisting.
Some scientists have connected fisheries failures in the Gulf of Alaska to marine heat waves. But state research biologists also say it could be because of habitat changes in the salmon's spawning grounds. Since the Chignik Run collapsed, much of the debate has also centered on another state-run fishery to the south, called Area M. Critics see it as an intercept fishery, where sockeye traveling through are harvested before they can reach fisheries closer to spawning grounds, like Chignik. Anderson says it feels like the Chignik villages are shouldering the burden of conservation. They haven't yet received the disaster relief money they were promised after the 2018 failure, either. Kevin Schaberg is a FinFish research coordinator for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
It's hard to understand that, you know, everybody else gets to go fishing, but you got to sit home next to the river and watch no fish go by. And that's tough, and it's something that we've tried to handle in the past.
In previous years, he says, the department has limited fishing in nearby areas when Chignik was low. But Schaberg says the burden of conserving a run usually falls on the areas closest to where the fish should be returning to spawn. A lot of people are asking for genetic sampling of harvests further south in Area M to figure out where Chignik fish are being caught. But Schaberg says they haven't done that in the area in years, mostly because the state doesn't have the budget for it.
And one of the big issues for myself is that, you know, how long are we going to do this? What's the design for this? What are we really trying to answer?
He says the department does plan to research the watershed to try to figure out if something in the freshwater environment is contributing to the run's decline. The Chignik Intertribal Coalition also has plans to research the river's dwindling king salmon, but all that depends on funding approval, which they'll find out about next year. In the meantime, other organizations have tried to help. Last summer, a commercial processor donated thousands of Bristol Bay sockeye to the Chignik's. Lots of people said receiving that fish was amazing. But subsistence isn't just about food. It's a connection to place and family as people work together to harvest. It also brings people back in the summers. On a hot evening, Al Anderson shucks clams with his wife. The shades are drawn to keep the heat at bay.
It's our lifeblood. chicknecks going to go away. All the chicknecks are going to go away if we can't get this run back up to where it used to be. You know, the young people are moving away. There's not much for them here.
Many of those who have moved away return in the summers to fish. That includes one of Anderson's daughters.
It's so important that she comes back every year to do it. And typically it doesn't take her 3 weeks to get her subsistence fish. You know, of course she comes back to visit too, so that's good.
Elder Vivian Brandel is 80 and has lived in the Chignik area all her life. Now she goes to Kodiak in the winter. She says it's difficult to comprehend what is happening.
Subsistence fishing is a lifeline. I mean, we depend on that. That's something we've done all our life. And I mean, it's something we really depend on, actually, not only fishing, but we used to be able to get caribou. We'd get caribou every year. You can't even do that anymore.
Brandel says the Lower Sockeye runs have changed the future of the Chignik communities.
That's five villages that depend on this fishery. And you look at it, you think, how can the state let this happen? How can they just let this happen without doing anything about it? I mean, I have grandchildren that thought this was their legacy.
Still, she says she's hopeful. She's inspired by Katie John, an advocate and defender of Alaska Native subsistence rights, who petitioned the state and federal government to allow for traditional fishing in her home.
She fought for what she believed in, and that's what I think we should do. We believe in this, and we should fight for it. And I won't be able to anymore, but I just think the younger people really ought to. You know, it's very emotional for people. You look... I should be crying. This is crazy. But it is very hard.
Brandel thinks they should work together to find a way forward, too. For Alaska's Energy Desk in Chignik Lagoon, I'm Izzy Ross.